When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and Dave's here in spirit. And that means this is Short Stuff, which I already said, which is a waste of time. Let's just start.
Which is funny, because Jerry is actually here.
I think, supposedly, she is, but I haven't heard from her in a while, so who knows?
She's here, but then she's like, I can't be bothered with those 12-minute episodes, Dave. Here, right. You take it.
Yeah. I can't. There's only so much of these schmoes I can take.
Jerry has a lot on her plate, and we're glad she's still around doing our full-length episodes, right?
Yeah, we are. We're very hashtag blessed to have Jerry still working with us as our producer.
She could have left us in the dirt a long time ago.
Totally, and she doesn't, because I secretly suspect that she likes us.
So, chastity belts. I don't think I ever got the memo, and we'll go ahead and spoil this right up front, that chastity belts were probably not even a real thing used for the purpose that we all think they were used for.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I never did either. I never really sat around and gave some thought. So, like, reading this, I wasn't, like, blown away.
Right.
But it does occur to me that I guess I had always thought that they were a real thing. And they are technically a real thing, but they're just not from the time we thought they were from. And it all seems to just be a misinterpretation of potentially an old-timey joke that we just lost the punchline to over the years.
Yeah, I think maybe that's kind of sad that this could have been a very believable thing that they did in medieval times, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
it seems like something that could have happened.
Well, part of it, though, is like this desire from people looking backward and saying, like, look how dumb and savage and brutal
right.
and just uncaring those people were back then. And it gives us a sense of self-satisfaction, and that's why, like, basically myths like this are allowed to perpetuate. And it's really just a misunderstanding, but it also prevents us from understanding those cultures a little better
right.
than we do, because we just think they're dumb and backwards instead. So it's a real issue. It's probably the greatest issue humanity's ever faced, chastity belts and the myth behind them.
So I guess we should say what they are. I kind of figured everyone knows, but if you have never heard of a chastity belt, the legend was that if you could picture basically metal underwear mm-hmm. that a man would put on his wife that is locked onto their body, like with a padlock, and it had a couple of openings for going pee-pee and poo-poo. And sometimes they were gussied up with, like, hearts and flowers and stuff. And the idea was, like, well, I'm going out of town on a rampage. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want you messing around on me while I'm gone. So I'm gonna lock your private parts away, basically, mm-hmm. behind this iron underwear. And that's what a chastity belt was.
Yeah, and if you look at pictures of some of these chastity belts, like, they, like, the place where, what did you say, you go pee-pee and poo-poo?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the holes are exit only, because they have, like, metal teeth, like, carved into them. So it's
right.
like, yeah, it's not meant to mess around. And when you look at these things, you're like, this can't be right. Like, is this for real? And it certainly seems that way, because you can see these things with your own eyes. But the problem is the things you're seeing with your own eyes come much later than the age that we attribute them to, right?
Yeah, so a guy actually wrote a book on this. His name was Albrecht Claussen, mm-hmm. and he wrote The Medieval Chastity Belt, a myth-making process. Boy, I'm going to flip my lid if we ever get a book that comes through this podcast that doesn't have a colon.
Like just in our research, you mean?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. not a novel.
Okay.
I dare somebody to write one.
Well, I mean, we did.
Well, ours feels like it has a colon, but it doesn't technically.
It definitely does. The colon is implied for sure.
Right. So this is the book that Albrecht Chassin wrote. And basically he's like, listen, poets wrote about it. You know, there were artists who made these things, but it's basically, it seems to be just a big sort of practical joke, or maybe it's the equivalent of like an editorial cartoon or something in its origin.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first mention of it comes from Conrad with a K, Kaiser von Eichstadt, great
nice.
Name.
Yeah.
And this was an engineer who designed all this technology around sieges, like weapons and defenses and stuff. And he wrote in the early 15th century about a device in a manuscript called Bella Fortis, meaning strong in war, which was just a big catalog of like military gadgets. And among them was a chastity belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, this was frequently supposedly used by men who were leaving for war while they were gone. Like you were saying, they would use it while they were out of town or whatever. So it would kind of make sense that it would be in this, you know, military gadget book. And you would say, okay, proof positive. This thing was written in the 1400s, the early 1400s. This was a medieval device, and this is possibly where it was invented, was in Bella Fortis. But the problem is if you go through Bella Fortis with a scrutinizing eye, you're going to see that there's other stuff in there that don't quite add up, like a machine that makes you invisible,
right.
Or a device that propels you through fart power.
That's my favorite.
There's a chariot, apparently, that's shaped like a cat. So while a lot of the stuff that von Eichstadt was designing and creating was real and legitimate, he also was apparently not shy about peppering his works with joke stuff as well.
Right. And there were other instances where it was clearly used in a satirical way, like a political cartoon, basically, of the time. There was one in German from the 16th century that has this sort of older gentleman saying goodbye to his young wife, and she is naked except for this chastity belt. And then behind a curtain is her younger lover sort of hiding with a chastity belt-shaped key, and the husband has these donkey ears growing out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
So this all sort of leads us to believe that this was kind of a joke, not something that was really used.
No, and maybe it was even originally used and described metaphorically, and it just kind of took
right.
off from there, almost like a medieval meme. But the fact is, there are chastity belts in existence, and I think we should take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about where those came from. How about that?
Oh, what a perfect spot.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everyone. Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Okay, Chuck, where did the chastity belts that you can actually go see in a museum come from?
They come from much later. They come from probably the 19th century. There was a little Gothic revival thing that happened then. And, you know, iron and steel were much more readily available as Europe became more industrialized. And they started making things out of them. And they, you know, obviously they made things like bridges and things like that. But they also made things for fun. And it looks like there were these manufacturers in England who said, you know what? There are these curiosity shows and museums that would pay for chastity belts to display them. And so we're going to start making them as sort of a joke.
Yeah. So the idea was that the Victorians were wound up so tight and were so proper that they would expel their prurient interest in bound up sexuality in like sideshows and stuff like that. They would pay to see things like torture devices or like a chastity belt or something. And for their part of it also was being able to become self-satisfied with your own culture and your own place in history by mocking or judging earlier ones. But the fact is, these things were all, they were recently made and apparently passed off as much older than they actually were. And so some museums said, well, we need to get these out of our collection because we've been displaying them as medieval and they were really created 20 years ago. And the British Museum actually still has one, but they have a little placard next to theirs that basically says, there's no real evidence that any of these were actually created or used during the medieval era.
Yeah, I love that last line. It says that the evidence is largely anecdotal or in burlesque fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Very tantalizing.
That's right.
So, yeah, they kept one around because, you know, I guess they thought it was still funny to look at in the proper context, which it's really not, you know, when you think about it.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, it looks like it was basically an urban legend from back then that came about many years later as an actual object. And like you were talking before, like, you know, I think people look at that period as these, you know, backward people that would do something like this. Mm-hmm. And I think scholars of the Middle Ages try to be a little kinder and point out that while it was no picnic, certainly, to live back then because of disease and no modern medicine and no electricity and not very much plumbing, it was no party, but they weren't like completely backward, and it wasn't, you know, just a culture full of maidens locked away in towers either.
Right, exactly. And there's a USC professor named Lisa Battelle, I think it's maybe how you say your last name. She points out that like they had a different way of looking at things in the medieval era, and there were lots of different politics and sociopolitics, but they weren't just stupid. You know, the idea that they couldn't possibly have had jokes or, you know, written things in jest or whatever, and basically pulled one over on those of us alive today inadvertently is a falsehood. It actually seems to be the case for sure.
Yeah. And there were even some women who were writers who didn't write under pseudonyms or pen names or anonymously. I don't think we're trying to make the case that it was just like a really progressive society or anything like that, but it may not be exactly as backward as we're led to believe.
Yeah. It's like, take a look at your own age for once, buddy.
No kidding.
Maybe put your own house in order first before you go judging others.
That's right. I love that term.
What's funny is that there really are chastity belts in existence today that are of recent manufacture, but they're mostly made of latex, and they're used almost exclusively for BDSM.
Oh.
And I think, Chuck, we should just leave the listener here to explain to whoever else they're listening with what BDSM is.
That's right. Maybe we should do a podcast on that one day.
Sure. We'll explain it for you later on.
All right.
Well, that means, of course, then, everybody, Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.